as the Commanders build a foundation for success on the field this season, make sure you plan for your future as well. The sponsor of our show exclusively is the law firm Kondorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, and they'll set up a revocable trust if needed for you and your family. Schedule a consultation. They are free. Schedule one with their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a great discount. That is kmlawyers.com. Darius, before we get into our regularly scheduled program, I need you to hit Ryan Clary's music, please. Rhino, as many of you know, is one of the producers of the Grant and Danny radio program. Danny, I don't even think you're aware of this at this point.
Okay.
So I am on location today, out and about. I'm missing the guys.
Well, I knew that. I knew you're on location. You're doing the Altcast tonight. I knew that.
Fear of missing out a little bit. I'm sitting here at the Monumental headquarters doing the show live. I'm, as soon as we're done at 6:30, going to walk downstairs, and I'll be on TV at 7 for our Altcast, Manningcast-style hockey hang with Tarik El-Bashir and Brent Johnson.
Not the point of what you're talking about. I know you got, I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
What room are you in right now? Like the background, I can't explain it. It's like if you've ever seen like a design on a soccer ball,
yes.
That's what the wall looks like behind you. What room is that?
That's very funny. Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, you can see it. I am in a room that all I could say is maybe it's like storage.
Okay.
But there's a green screen if they ever need it. There are some TV monitors in here that I don't think show television. There are very nice, fancy TV walls. It could be like a backup studio. There's a bunch of very expensive cameras. I think they mostly just put me in a storage closet.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the storage closet. Because it looks, that's not what the whole wall looks like. Oh, wow, okay. Gotcha.
All right. So you can see, and like over there, like that's TV studio,
yeah, that's
right?
TV stuff, yeah.
So it's very fancy. I'm just sitting in front of the one wall that kind of looks like a soccer ball.
Just an interloper in the soccer ball wall. All right,
exactly.
Back to my friend Grant. Go.
Yeah, so there was something that popped up that I need to tell Clary. And it's one of these things where I was going to tell him during the break down the line, and I'm like, you know what? I'll call you in about 10 minutes when we go to commercial. I want to see your reaction. Like, this is a huge development.
Okay.
And I can't say what it is over the air.
Why not?
It's just not something I can say over the air.
Oh. Huh.
So I call Clary during the break. He answers.
Yeah.
It's not that weird. Clary answers a lot. I give him a lot of credit. But here's where I'm going to be a hypocrite.
Mm.
I like people who answer their phone. I FaceTimed him, and he answered the FaceTime, and he was on the toilet at work.
Now, I can confirm a couple things here. I had to throw a fastball during the break, and I was in there, and I noticed Ryan was gone from his post for a previous few minutes before we went to commercial break. I go in and relieve myself and went ahead and washed my hands, and I recognized a pair of shoes. The white Nikes right down there. Ryan and I exchanged some pleasantries. I realized I still had my visitor's pass on from my kid's school this morning where I had an event. And we made pleasantries about that. And then as I was leaving, the phone rang.
And he answered it.
Yes, he did.
So I could tell he was in a stall pretty quickly.
In the loo.
It was very obvious. And he's like, hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
So casual. So comfortable. No acknowledgement. Hey, I'm in the bathroom, which is, we all know what's happening. But like you would be like, hey, man, call me back. I'm in the bathroom. Not that, even though that would be a bridge too far. He's just waiting for me now to carry on with the conversation.
Yeah, you called me. What's up?
By the way, public bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, it would be bad if you were at home. You're in public. People are coming and going. There's clearly, I could hear someone off in the distance. I didn't know it was Danny Hoohead.
Well, now, would you like to know, like, let me ask you this. Do you want to know that there was someone in the stall next to him, or would you rather not know that? Does that help you or hurt you in this thing?
That makes it even more egregious.
A second pair of shoes. There was a second deucer.
Do we know who that was?
I don't know. I couldn't identify the shoes. Yes,
now,
Ryan.
This is coming from someone who quite literally will swing my legs around up against the wall if someone's in the bathroom just for fear that they might know that I'm in there doing something. I don't want anyone to know. So this comfort to answer the phone and someone's next to you? What a, I'm going to call him rude here. A rude thing. And this is hypocritical because I love when people answer the phone when I call. So this is now when I tag in Clary. Clary, what were you thinking there?
I mean, you're my guy. I remember you telling me the segment prior that you were like, hey, I'm going to call you. You're going to be really interested in this one thing. And so I was, you piqued my curiosity. And so I was on the toilet there, unfortunately for you. And I answered the phone call. In my opinion, like, here's the thing. I can balance two plates at once.
Mm.
Is it weird? Yes, I can acknowledge that. But then again, like, this is maybe a tough guy bit. I don't know. Make fun of me for it. Do I care? Not really. I really, because you're my guy. I would tell you. I tell you guys all the time. I mean, yeah. Like, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm gone for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long it is. You guys know what I'm doing. I'm not hiding anything.
No,
I'm in the bathroom.
It's not even. I'm the weird one that has to hide when that happens out of just discomfort. But that's not. There's a difference between us knowing that you're going to the bathroom and answering the phone and then expecting to have a conversation. And that was if you were in a locked, closed bathroom. I would say that's weird.
Yes.
There were people in there.
Yes, there were people in there. I know. It's weird. It's weird on my end. It may have made you uncomfortable not knowing that there are other people there, and I'm sorry for that. But at the end of the day, like, that's, I told you, I warned you. I was like, hey, I'm in the bathroom. Like, probably I said that, what, second or third sentence of the conversation? I did warn you. I did warn you that I was in the bathroom. And even then, you work at this place. You should have seen the background when I faced, when you FaceTimed me.
No, I knew you were in the bathroom.
I know. And you acknowledged that. And then
I said, why did you answer? What are we doing here?
No, I just said, I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah, I remember, because then you flipped your camera around and I saw your underwear and shorts and shoes.
Jeans, but yes.
Pulled down to your feet. Now, luckily, I didn't see anything else.
True. I did get close there. Maybe a little too close for comfort.
Too close for comfort is an apt phrase.
Yes.
So the protocol there is understanding that it's, now here's the deal. Stick aside. This is during the show. Not like it's been during show hours. There may be something business oriented because you're on location, or we have to share things all the time behind the scenes. I want this sound clip, or are you calling this guy? There may be something. So a FaceTime or a call during show hours is something where you'd go, oh, I probably need to respond to the host who needs something from me. The protocol there is, you know, that option where it's you decline or whatever, you send that text right back.
Yes.
In the bathroom.
Boom.
Call you right back.
Boom.
Boom. You don't answer the FaceTime with only a half of your body available, because the other half you have to go to HR.
Oh, he made the other half available for the most part.
I mean, I did, and I'm sorry for that. Like, that part maybe a little too close for you there. I apologize for that. But then again, I get back to this point that I cannot get past myself is I'm not hiding anything, man.
So I'm not hiding.
I'm not trying to show you anything.
He is doing, Danny, help him. He keeps acting like this is I'm not going to be ashamed. I go to the bathroom and every human does.
So you're getting caught on the fact that my co-host, my pal Grant, is a weirdo who has never admitted to us that he poops.
Yes.
A human adult male in his mid-30s. Are you 36, buddy? Or 35?
36.
He has never said that he's done the thing that every human being does to survive. Mm-hmm. Every human being sleeps. He won't sleep anywhere. Let you know that he might have been asleep, and he won't.
If you call me and I was asleep, and I'm like, "Hello,
hey,
are you asleep?" I'm like, "No, not at all. No way."
No, I was just getting up 3:45 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like, whatever. So he's the weirdo here. Okay, forget about that. Forget about his proclivities. You're debating that one. It's like debating the one Jerry Springer guest as like a mainstream viewpoint. It's not a mainstream viewpoint. It's the extreme. What we're saying is, if there's a FaceTime and you're on the pot, can't get that FaceTime. You just can't get it.
I disagree with that point.
Mm.
I disagree with that. Like, I genuinely disagree with it. I'm not even doing a bit. Like,
How often do you talk to people on FaceTime when you're on the toilet?
I do it all the time.
Regularly.
I would say...
Well, now, Ryan, sorry. Him and his just, I mean...
Say it.
Cavemen friends.
Yeah.
Will FaceTime each other and look at the... I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. Mm-hmm. They look at the trophy I just made.
That's disgusting.
It sure is.
There's a Snapchat group chat for it.
Yeah, that's who we're talking about.
Are you kidding me?
No. Not a joke.
Well, no. we're dealing with an alien. We're dealing with a madman.
Yeah.
I mean,
he does not have the proper respect or reverence for the act being private.
You just can't get the FaceTime on the John. I think it's ridiculous people answer the phone. I think it's ridiculous that people listen, like watch loud videos with no shame. When I'm rolling in there, it's like a little peace and quiet.
Danny, that's the other part.
Yeah.
Clary, let's say this is your normal move at home, that you and all your weirdo friends who like to show each other your business, right?
Yep.
That they call and you're talking to them. Let's say you do that, which I think is outrageous. Mm-hmm. You're in the bathroom and someone's sitting next to you in the stall. You now, even if you're not me, and you don't want them to know that you're there, you now can't answer the phone because there's someone – you don't want to – that's rude to just talk next to someone, even in a random public setting, let alone a bathroom.
Yes, and okay, if we were at a restaurant, I would not do that. Something about this place, and again, this is an issue that I have. I think I am too comfortable here.
A little too comfortable.
I think I am a little bit too comfortable. Because here's the thing. Three out of the 5 days, no one else here besides us in this little corner. And to be frankly honest with you guys, if it's Darius, Danny, or you, Grant, walking in the bathroom there, I'll say hi. I always say hi. I noticed that it was Danny. And first and foremost, I wasn't even 100% that it was Danny. But I saw like the jeans and the shoes. And I'm like, yep. I'm pretty sure that's Danny. Hey, Danny.
Went for it.
And he said hi back?
Yeah, that's no problem to me. That's no problem. You can't FaceTime. You just can't. You can't FaceTime from the Jordan stall, dude.
I don't know. I disagree. I think it's fine. You cannot show anyone your business, which I was never going to do. That was never my intention.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like it's a compliment to me that you're comfortable enough that we're friends that you would do that.
Yeah.
Where do you draw that line? If it was our boss, Chris Kinard, calling you in that moment, and he's calling you, would you answer?
Absolutely, because I'd probably have a panic attack because if CK is calling, like it's something's either great or really bad.
But
and I'm not going to take that risk.
You would answer a FaceTime on the toilet?
Yes.
From your boss?
Yes.
Okay.
And again, too comfortable. Right, that is on me.
So again, way too comfortable. We're going to go to the next line.
We're just telling you have some discomfort.
What if this was a female member of our staff?
Oh, no.
A female member of let's say the sales staff. If Laura Gonzalez is calling you on FaceTime, or Courtney from sales, or whoever, pick any member of sales. They've got an important question. Did Grant do the read? Did this happen? Are you answering a female's call while on the John on FaceTime?
Well, I would not with them because I'm not as comfortable with them. But like with you guys,
okay,
that's
like
what I'm getting.
You guys are in that category where
this is a comfort thing.
This is a comfort thing. Okay. I am comfortable with you guys.
Okay.
This is my second home.
Apparently. He's extremely comfortable.
He's almost full Costanza with his shirt off.
Yeah.
But that's what I was trying to get at, Danny, isn't a comfort thing. So we're like on the buddy list where you'll do that. But if it was your boss at Locked On or something, you're not doing that.
I think I would.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, again, I don't know, man. I always answer my call no matter what. Like, I never let it go to voicemail.
Okay, would you say to him when you answered, would you say, hey, just so you know, I'm on the toilet? Or do you just let him figure that out?
Yes, I would.
He'd probably figure it out.
Well, yeah, he'd probably figure it out,
Hold on. Danny, did you hear that?
Yeah.
So this is your boss that you're not, like, buddies with. This isn't like a CK situation where you see him every day and you do shtick. Like, this is like a guy that wears a shirt and tie. He's calling you.
Mm-hmm.
You are answering your phone on video on the toilet, and you're just going to say, hey, Bob, just want to let you know I'm on the toilet. What's up?
Yeah, I probably would.
Oh, dear.
Because if they are calling me, it is about work, number one. And number two, it could be an emergency. You will never know that answer if you don't answer that phone. I'm going to answer that phone. I think that's what it comes down to.
Hit ignore and text them back and say, hey, I'm on the...
What if it's urgent, though? What if it's urgent? We get into the what-if scenarios, and you guys will never know that answer.
You're right. But it's a risk you have to take. You can't have a boss... And you just go, what's up, man? I'm on the crapper. What do you got for me? Hey, boss.
This is not your buddy from high school.
Hold on one second, boss. I'm efforting here. You can't do that. It's a one sec. They don't know your life. They don't know what's going on, et cetera. If you miss some kind of emergency because they needed you in the 11th hour, that's poor planning on their part. Like that one in a trillion lightning strike in the palm of your hand while you're juggling fire in the other hand. That ain't on you, dude.
That's a call you in 2 minutes kind of situation.
Yeah.
Now, Darius, who's our other producer, is closer to me, I think, than Ryan.
Yeah.
Where he's very Darius is like, he's going to another building to go to the bathroom.
Did Darius go to the roof? You go to the roof, don't you?
He leaves the Navy Yard, gets in his car, and drives to another zip code and comes back.
This is all true, yes.
I mean, can you give people your quick rundown of just your if duty calls – if the time
like if
is
you,
right.
If Call of Duty World at War calls, what happens?
I mean, give people, it's pretty lengthy operation you've got over there.
So I hate public bathrooms, in particular for doing that part of, you know, going to the bathroom.
Of course.
Uh-huh. So yeah, I don't like doing any public bathrooms, because I don't like the people walking in and seeing your feet and knowing, oh, he's doing the thing.
He's me.
Yeah, I'm you. Right. So I rather go to the one place where there's a private bathroom and I don't have to worry about that. And that's on the roof of the building.
You take the elevator up?
Yeah, absolutely. Scan my key card, go up the elevator all the way to the 11th floor.
You leave the studio, you go to the special elevator, you go all the way up to the top.
Do you do the freight elevator?
You go outside of the...
Yeah, that's the only elevator that goes up there.
Unbelievable.
It's so peaceful up there.
Well, they get angry at us for using it, by the way. They scold you every time. If they see you go in there, they get mad.
Well, that's why, I don't know, I've never been scolded going up there, but I know it gets the work done up there.
So then, with that mindset that you have, which is comparable to mine, I would say, when you hear that Ryan did this, your thoughts are?
I'm absolutely cringing. I can't believe that he has the audacity to do such a thing and put anybody in that position.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
I like this, Danny, because for Ryan, he's like, I'm fine with it. What do you mean? Darius's point is the nerve of you.
Yeah.
Look at the imposition on other people.
The Odyssey at work action to sit there with someone with, like, if you, now, there's a wall in the way. But if you extended your left arm and they extended their right arm, it's beyond touching. Like, they're that close. Like, you could reach out and hold hands underneath the stall if you wanted to. That's how close the proximity is. And you're just chatting away. You're on FaceTime. Hey, what's up? How you doing? Like, come on, man.
So rude.
There's got to be some solitude, some dignity to an undignified act.
I mean, I hate to be this guy, but, like, Danny.
Yeah.
You and I have conversations in the bathroom.
Sure, but that's if someone initiates. I'm not talking, like, if there's a, you do not know who was next to you. You don't know who it was.
I had a pretty decent idea.
But maybe you did, maybe you didn't. You don't know.
Fair.
Like, if you had to swear to it, and you're just chit-chatting on the phone, you're just chit-chatting on a FaceTime, while throwing a breaking ball, while doing Call of Duty Modern Warfare?
Yeah.
No, is my point to that. You can't. You can't do that. You can't do that.
Clary, who do you think was growing a tail next to you?
Oh, that's tough.
I have a good idea. Do I say
that? No, do not say that person's name. Do not do
it's
that.
On the other side of the building.
Oh, man. Well, that's just, in the future, let's not answer. How about that?
Okay, fine.
If you're locked on Yankees boss calls you, and you're on the John, please, I'm begging you, don't answer and say, I'm in the loo. What's up?
Next time you're...
Please don't do that.
Next time you're making room for dinner, do me a favor. Don't let me see your face.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I like your batting average on answering calls. And I don't want this to be a situation... You know, Danny, it's big. It's important that people answer their phone.
I will tell you, I'm not a good answerer. But, like, I'm doing something. If I'm doing something...
Yeah.
It's hard for me to stop doing that thing with my kids, a conversation with my wife or something. If I'm free, I'll do it. But, like,
you're horrendous at answering.
I'm not good at it. I certainly admit to that. But it's not a, oh, screw this guy calling. It's a, I'm doing something.
I would say
Ryan stops what he's doing, no matter what it is.
I would say of people in my life, and maybe this won't surprise anyone after this segment, Clary's probably the highest batting average of answering the phone.
Yep.
And I think you take pride in that, clearly.
I do. I seriously do. I always answer my phone. Always.
In this case, just a little bit too much pride, maybe. But anyway, I'm going to FaceTime you now when we go to break so I can tell you the news that I wanted to tell you. Yeah. So don't be in the bathroom.
A lot of pride, not that much shame.
Right, exactly.
A little low on shame.
Let's get back to our regularly scheduled program next and get into the Cowboys and the Commanders and whether or not your passion for hating Dallas has waned at all in the last few years. This is The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
G&D on the Fan. Danny, I'm trying to get you to go.
Sorry, buddy.
I ate a peanut right before
yeah,
we came back.
We've all done it.
And I lost, and like the cameras aren't up yet for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pointing at you, and you can't see me. And I'm desperately swigging water, and my eyes are watering for some reason.
And I kept thinking he's going to go. Darius is like, Grant wants you to go. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And then you started going, and then we're talking about who was going to go, and then you go, and I go.
I also saw Grant actively choking, so I didn't want to put you on camera while you were choking. So that was why I
Oh, that was part of it.
Yeah.
I just kept waiting for the camera to go on so I could point at Danny.
Yeah.
Like, can we do this?
So part of me is sort of like, if he's going to choke, we got to see it. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's morbid and it sucks, but Zeke always tells us, if you're going to have something terrible happen, have it happen on air, you know?
I'm eating one of my co-pair peanut surprise bars, which are delicious.
And surprise, you couldn't breathe.
But it went down the wrong pipe. It got ugly there for a second.
Dude,
and I was like, oh, it's fine. Danny will start talking eventually.
Eventually.
But that did not happen.
No, it didn't. And Stone Cold Grant Austin is with us here on G&D. I bring it as a snack every day just in case, like, I'm out of food or I need a little pick-me-up or something, the thing of peanuts. And every once in a while when you do it, something happens.
It'll get you.
It gets you. And it's not something you should always, but it's like, it's so easy to take with me and have like all the time, but it could dry you right out. And all of a sudden you talk like this.
Yep.
Well, you sound like Linda Richman from SNL. And you're like, why am I doing that?
There were no words there to be clear.
You're good now.
How does your passion for Commanders Cowboys compared to 10 years ago when we started as a show?
Yeah.
And the best way to quantify it might be 1 to 10, but how would you go about that?
This is hard because you're forced to do some introspection. You're forced to like look at yourself and kind of take inventory when this comes up. And, you know, I can work myself into a lather, which I will. I can work myself up for these sorts of things. But it used to be I got out of bed in July of 1993, and I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I would go to bed at night in September of 2004, and I hated the Cowboys almost more than I loved the Washington Redskins. Like, the thought of that stupid star and their dumb fans with chin strap beards and flat brim hats and popping their jerseys and being antagonistic in Rhodes stadiums. I hated them. It's not the same now. It just isn't. And I finally will admit defeat on that. Just because I know that I wouldn't be being honest with everybody.
I'd be putting on a front. There's been so many years where I feel like you've pushed back that the rivalry isn't dying and the hatred's still there. Because I've always said it's still a fan rivalry. Like, it was dead in the league. It was dead between the players with player movement and stuff. But the fans still care. And I even think that part of it's dying.
It's not the same. It just isn't. It's not the same as it was. And there's no way to dispute that. For some, it burns bright. Like, if you've kind of held on to the older ways, I don't know how else to better say that, the old traditions, totally fine. I'm not begrudging that. I'm not criticizing anybody, right? But for me, it is not the same as it was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just think that part of it is neither team has been great while the other one was at the top of the division or fighting and scratching and clawing, you know, for supremacy in now almost 25 years. You had Washington at the beginning of the 90s and then Dallas into the mid-90s. Since then, since the late 90s, really, there hasn't been a single point over almost 30 years where both teams were really, really good. That's a problem. I think player movement and the rivalry dying on the vine between the actual like football element of the competitors, where you've got guys that are going out to dinner when they're in Dallas for the game the next night with their former buddies because they played in Dallas. You know, I covered Stephen Bowen, and he's doing dinner with DeMarcus Ware and stuff. It's just not going to be the same as when the 10th-year Redskin is playing the 13th-year Cowboy, and they actually hate each other's guts, and they're not helping each other up, and it's just a different world. But and maybe this is a hot take, and maybe someone could blow me out of the water on this. I do think it's a thing. I think the name change has changed the rivalry a little bit because I think it's changed the fan base. A lot of the older guard, diehard, cowboy-hating people
don't care the same way.
They don't care as much. They're either gone or they're less passionate or they've checked out or they're just not as vocal. The new fan base is, I'd say, a little less old school and a little more okay with, like, the black uniforms and whatever colors they're changing to. And if that's the case, then why can't they also be a little bit less hateful of the Cowboys?
I think that's certainly part of it, right? I mean, things have changed. And the way we consume football has changed, whether it's from gambling or fantasy sports or, you know, realignment and the way the games are covered. I mean, for me, it was you only had access to Washington growing up. I didn't really get to see the other teams unless they were in the 4 o'clock window or something different. It was like, you know, once or twice a season you saw somebody and then you tuned into Chris Berman and Tom Jackson on Sunday night. Now you see everybody. So my kids don't care about Washington, but they know who Pat Mahomes is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a different time. And a lot of things have happened, I think, to your point, where both teams haven't been excellent at the same time for a sustained amount over a long enough period.
We've got breaking news on Alex Ovechkin's injury and recovery timeline. Let's get it right now.
I'm Toby Altizer with breaking news on the Fan. Breaking news is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. This from Capitals PR. Washington Capitals captain Alex Ovechkin underwent further evaluation with team doctors. It was confirmed that Alex Ovechkin has a fracture to his left fibula and is anticipated to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Again, Alex Ovechkin going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a left fibula fracture. I'm Toby Altizer with breaking news on the Fan.
Thank you, Toby. That is breaking and into us right here at 106.7 The Fan from the Capitals right now. So 4 to 6 weeks, which sounds actually like a good thing after many of us were worried it could be a season ender. And this is the interesting part. Mm-hmm. They kept saying over and over, lower leg. A lot of us were assuming knee, MCL, ACL. When they said lower leg, my first thought, if it was really serious, was Achilles, right? It was a fracture of the fibula. And by the way, that is stunning to me. Now, I'm not a doctor. We should get one on the air as soon as we can. But a fracture of the fibula only meaning 4 to 6 week recovery feels like a hockey thing.
Yeah, seriously. This is a relief. Now, you're going to say, what are you talking about, idiot? I'm telling you, I thought this was way worse. I thought this was surgery season. Or something close to that, where they were going to do this hockey machismo thing and then pretend that a guy with surgery might come back for like an hour in March and they, you know, so they could get away with saying he's not out for the year. So this, to me, it could have been way worse. And the initial play didn't look worse than that, but the subsequent fallout and somber mood and him trying to go on clearly not right and the silence for 72 hours afterwards, I thought we were going to get a far more devastating announcement. So, again, I'm not happy. His leg's broken, obviously. You know what I mean? But given what I thought over the last couple of days, this is something of a relief. There is a very good chance, if all goes well, I'm going to see Alex Ovechkin play hockey again this season. And that, to me, is a boon. That is good.
Yeah, it's fantastic, actually. Now, let's get into what it means for the goal-scoring record in just a second. Because it puts that on pause, and then you come back, and he's not going to be on the heater he was on, leading the NHL in goals, hunting down another Rocket Richard trophy as the leading goal scorer in the sport. But the fact that he will play again this season, and that he'll have hopefully most of January, all of February, all of March, on into April, to go compile another, let's say it's a slow stretch, and he only scores 10 or 12 times, well, then you're still only 15, 18, 20 goals away next season from breaking the record. So the difference between a season-ending injury, if it was an Achilles or if it was an ACL, and you're not back until into next season, all of a sudden the record's very much in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alex Ovechkin is under contract through next year, but needing still upwards of 25 goals to go get the record, I think the thought would have been, if you can't still score more goals this year, now you've got to come back from a serious injury at 40 years old in your recovery and go chase down Gretzky and score another 27 goals in 1 year. Good luck with that. But if he comes back, he scores 8, 10, 12, 13, 14 times, whatever it is, he'll go into the final year of his contract because of the work he already did this year, Danny.
Yep.
only needing, you know, potentially like 10 to 15 goals next year, which puts him in a really good position to break
this record. 26 shy now. And at the pace he was on, even with this layoff, if he came back and was at this pace, he'd break it this year. But that's ridiculous to assume. To your point correctly, by the way, is that you don't play for a while. You try to work yourself back in shape, and you're scoring at the same torrid pace where you're basically going 2.5 goals per game over his last couple.
What about the team element of this? They were the best team in the Eastern Conference at the moment their last game ended in the way of points. So if you account for, you know, games in hand, they're still number one in the Eastern Conference. They're a legitimate contender. They're playing great hockey. Now they've got to push forward without him for at least four, maybe closer to 6 weeks. They've called up Ivan Mereshnichenko from Hershey. Hendrix Lapierre, who really struggled and was sent down, is back up to play tonight. They've messed with the third line to bring Mangiapane up to the first line. They've kept their two best lines, other than the Ovechkin line, their second and fourth lines together. So they're trying to make it as, you know, little a wholesale tweak as possible. But they go from being the best team in the East now to without their number one goal scorer, their captain, and the glue of the number one line on the operation.
Yeah, so you've been on this from Jump Street here. It's not just losing one player, replacing with player. It's probably dominoes that have to fall. So a line that's humming had a second line right winger that's now maybe the first line right winger. Or it's, you know, Hershey Bears Harry that's going to come in and play on that first line. Then it's not really your first line anymore. Then it becomes kind of your third line. But is it, you know, there's trickle down and sort of fallout from this where it's not just having that bell cow there, the power play unit, special teams, different responsibilities now. Maybe somebody that is a top penalty killer is needed maybe more for power play. Just different things like that that now Spencer Carberry is going to have to sort of mix and match and shuffle. And those shuffling things, these are all pros, obviously. They'll be fine, but you're maybe not quite as comfortable. Because what was happening right now is everyone was comfortable in their role. It looked like a bunch of guys that were winning their job. Right, whether it's the fourth line to just bother people, agitate, get turnovers in the zone, put pressure on, whether it was that, you know, the first line, which looked devastating and beyond creative, they were skating around, and you know, Dylan Strom was basically Dylan Backstrom almost at this point to this year, right? So it's kind of that fallout from it. You know, whether you know, Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren are affected, maybe not as much, but everyone else in terms of the forward lines, there's a lot more fallout than just, hey, they're missing a player for a month.
I think worst-case scenario would have involved his season ending and maybe even a recovery into next season. And now ever getting to Gretzky's record is possibly off the table, and he can't help you this year as you try to make the playoffs. This feels like actually about as good an update as we were going to get when he was deemed week to week. But I'd be curious, Danny, if people agree with that. Let's give Caps fans a chance to weigh in. Their team's the best in the East, and they'll be without their captain for 4 to 6 weeks. 800-636-1067 is the number. The news from the Capitals just now breaking is that it's a 4 to 6 week recovery. Ovechkin broke a bone in his leg. He broke his fibula. How do you feel about this news and what it means for him, the goals record, and the Capitals? You're listening to The Fan. It's official. Alex Ovechkin is out 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture to his left fibula. The team made the announcement last segment. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. That's good news, it feels like, because Ovi will have a stretch run. He will be able to play after the new year for the remainder of the season with this team if his recovery goes well. And his chase of Gretzky will be back on, and assuming he's able to pot some goals down the stretch, even if it's not to the pace that he was scoring at earlier this year, Danny, he is very much now likely to catch Wayne Gretzky again in the next coming season, now the final year of his deal next year.
It's a relief. And, you know, listen, it still sucks. We're dealing with less bad than before, right? So relative to what my expectations were, because I'm not kidding you, and I'm not faulting anybody specific. I'm not mad at anybody. My fear was they were going to do a bit where they're going, well, he's not out for the season, but he's going to have this really long rehab, and they're going to keep pushing it back, and he's day-to-day and month-to-month, because they didn't want people just to sort of punt on everything. I thought it was going to linger and be super annoying. This is little bit more straight up. It's broken. You can't unbreak it, right? You just need time. It's going to take in this, you know, 4 to 6 week window, and he's going to play hockey again. I'm pretty happy about it, honestly, given the expectation.
Weirdly, I'd almost rather a break.
Yeah.
Than some type of, even an M, you know, we were talking ACL being a year ender, but an MCL, like a tear where you need some type of little surgery right away, and then you're reworking that ligament, you don't know about the strength of it. The break, to your point, and I'd have to ask a doctor if this is actually true, but for me, anecdotally, feels like a better deal. I also want to say the NHL's injury policy is antiquated and maddening, and it's a joke, and it should change yesterday. But I give the Caps credit for knowing this is too big of a deal to play games with. Like, it took longer than I would have liked. I mean, there's no way the X-ray took 4 days or whatever. Having said that, to come out and announce that he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, that he did break this bone, like, this is anti-hockey. It's not what the NHL does with injuries, which is a problem. That is ridiculous that they don't. But they didn't have to. I mean, they could have just hid behind the NHL way and said lower body and week to week. And I give the Caps credit.
Grateful for that, yeah.
Because they, you know, he's our Ovi. I mean, we care.
Yeah.
So
I mean, just a quick 2 seconds. This NHL injury thing, whatever it is, I'm with you. It needs to change decades ago. It's beyond stupid. Not only for purposes of gambling and television and everything else, but if I'm a consumer, I mean, there's always risk. Like, I could buy a ticket a week in advance. Guy sprains his ankle the night before, he can't play. But if I'm going to make a big commitment where I'm going, I'd like to go see Alex Ovechkin play, and I don't know if he's going to play or not, I'm a paying customer. I need the information to make an educated decision. You should be telling people what's going on. I'm not talking about HIPAA violations. I don't need a microscope inside his leg right now. But tell you, like, he's out with an upper body when his like head's been split open. Like, enough of this crap. It's absurd. We get it. You're tough. Guys lose teeth all the time. Fix this nonsense.
Yeah, and it's even worse now. You brush past the gambling part, but
it's huge, yes.
You're making millions and millions of dollars off of people betting on your games and playing fantasy sports, and you're still hiding information from them, which just isn't fair. You can't have it both ways. Paul's in Leesburg on Grant and Danny. What's your reaction to the news, Paul?
I heard it from you two guys. I guess it's good, you know. I'm excited. It's going to take them. You know, if we see him, there's no hurry. Obviously, we see him mid-January. It's great, you know. It's and then next year, what happens next year? So his contract is up, and then starting from scratch again. Is that what's going on?
Well, he's got a year left on his deal, which is next season, and he'll break the record. And presumably, at that point, if he breaks the record, he would, you know, wave and say goodbye and go into the sunset. Although, if he's on pace for 68 goals like he was this year. And he's playing at that level. Maybe Ted Leonsis sits down with him and says, "Hey, what if you wanted to keep playing and we wanted you to keep playing? Should we talk
about
that? Would
you like to score more goals in a red uniform?"
You're almost 40 and all right now. So when they would have this hypothetical conversation, he'd be in his young 40s. But if he wants to do it and they want him to do it, then why not? Grant and Danny here on The Fan discussing Alex Ovechkin's breaking news and injury. And it's literally breaking. He does not plan on playing in games for 4 to 6 weeks, the Capitals say, as he recovers. He did have a fracture in the lower leg. It's a left fibula fracture for Alex Ovechkin. Let's go to Michael in D.C. What's up, Michael? How are you?
Good, gentlemen. I'm thinking pain tolerance. You know, guys literally play through playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, with these types of injuries. So let's keep him on ice. We got him for another season. It's 30 goals. I'd rather have two playoff runs than the Gretzky goal, and I think Ovi feels the same way. What do you think?
Appreciate you. That's interesting. To me, that record, because now, if you give me a Stanley Cup, if you're like,
yeah, how deep are these playoffs?
Yeah, that's what I need to know if I'm making a trade. But to me, just sight unseen, give me the goal record. The next closest active goal scorer is Sidney Crosby, who's close to the end, too, and he's 300 goals behind Ovechkin. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody getting close for a long, long, long time if anybody does. He has a shot at 900 goals. Like, I saw Wayne Gretzky, dude. Half the guys didn't have helmets on. The goalies were, you know, stick figures, and there was more room to shoot. There's nothing but odd man rushes. The game has changed so much, and he's doing it now. Like, that is such an astounding record. Like, I would think back to San Francisco Giants fans. Like, obviously, they won some World Series. They had those too. But how magical was it when Barry Bonds is hitting bolt after bolt after bolt after bolt for them? You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that you remember forever. So I don't know. That's a tough thing to weigh.
The goals record,
yeah.
By the way, lives forever. That doesn't go away in our lifetime, probably. The playoff run is fun. If you don't win a cup, it lives until the next season. You know, if you lose in the ECF, if you lose somewhere in the Eastern Conference playoffs, it's over right then and there, and people are upset again. And you're waiting until next year. So that goals record, short of a Stanley Cup, outweighs just about anything. What do you guys make of the news? Good news, bad news, 4 to 6 weeks for Ovechkin. He comes back, probably going to be a bit hobbled in the recovery. The goal scoring will slow down, but there will be a rest of his season. You're listening to The Fan.